Julian Council Show here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're about 9 hours away from kickoff at Gillette Stadium as the Tennessee Titans will face off against the defending Super Bowl champion New England Patriots, Bill Belichick, and the greatest living American, Tom Brady, born in a manger, by the way, the GOAT. So that's what you got going on. Titans have a massive, monumental challenge tonight in New England. We'll get into that next segment. But this segment, want to get into rest of the games. But hey, remember, all day long right here, ESPN 102.5 The Game has you covered with all Titans coverage. Got me for the next hour here following me, NFL playoffs live from 11 to 5 p.m. From 11 to 2, we have Chase McCabe and Buck Rising, who has done a phenomenal job for us covering the Titans all year long. From 2 to 5, we have Ryan Porth, and as the email says, to be determined. So TBD, that's the tease of all teases. Following them will be from 5 to 7, NFL Football Saturday Playoff Edition. Host Jared Stillman, former GM, former Titans GM Floyd Reese, and former Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders, live from Drake's in Cool Springs. And following the game, approximately around 10:30 until midnight, NFL Post Game Live with Jared Stillman and Chris Sanders. So 1-2-5 The Game, as you covered all day with all Titans and Patriots playoff coverage as what you need today. So, but first off, Captain Kirk, go ahead, throw out the music. Let's get into these other games. We'll start going on, 3:40 kick there, Lincoln Financial Field, cold Philadelphia. The Eagles have lived for the longest time of being the only team in the NFC East to have not won a Super Bowl. The Cowboys have done it, the Redskins have done it, and their arch rival, the hated Giants, have done it a few times. Now, Philadelphia thought this was going to be the year that they're finally going to win a Super Bowl. Then you go out to Los Angeles to the Coliseum, have a big game. Carson Wentz, Jared Goff, two guys who seem to be the future of the NFL. Well, one of them came out of the game just fine. The other one did not, Carson Wentz. We had talked about all season long. What you loved about Carson Wentz was his toughness. But eventually, it was going to get him hurt. And unfortunately, it got him hurt going in for a touchdown that ended up getting called back. Two times this year, we've had some brutal injuries happen on touchdowns. Zach Miller almost lost his leg out in the Superdome against the New Orleans Saints, and they call back that touchdown because we don't know what a catch is. Carson Wentz goes down, tears his ACL. Now they're left up with Nick Foles. Now Nick Foles' first start looked just fine, four touchdowns against the Giants, then came back Monday night against the Raiders, didn't look too hot. Week 17, they weren't feeling good. So offense coordinator Frank Reich, Doug Peterson, the head coach out there in Philadelphia, decided, all right, we need to throw him out there one last time, get some confidence. And Foles was bad then too against the Dallas Cowboys in a 6-0 loss for the Philadelphia Eagles. So now the Eagles have Nick Foles, and their backup plan is Nate Sudfeld, who played the rest of that Week 17 loss to the Cowboys, going up against the Atlanta Falcons, who, if you recall, were the team that ended up representing the NFC last year. Now, the Falcons, like I said earlier, Garrett Grambling. Now, they haven't been great offensively like we expected them to be. Now, they lost Kyle Shanahan, offensive coordinator. He's now in San Francisco. He now has Jimmy Garoppolo, and it looks like he's going to win a lot of games, compete for Super Bowls in the future. That left them with Steve Sarkisian, who was Alabama offensive coordinator for one game, basically 11 days leading up to the national championship game last year before jumping ship and going to Atlanta. Things haven't exactly worked all that great so far with Sark. And it's actually funny, people talk about how Sark hasn't been amazing, but Sark might be going to Seattle now to be with Pete Carroll after Darrell Bevell was fired up there in Seattle. So interesting game with the Falcons, because I've said for a while now, they get over Super Bowl hangover by getting to the playoffs. Once you did that, all the pressure is off of you. Matt Ryan, play your game. You still have Julio Jones. Devontae Freeman has been running the ball at a rapid pace the last couple weeks. He's just been running through people, having him, Tevin Coleman. This is still the same team from last year as far as personnel. Now, what they're going to have to do up front, they're going to have to play well, because Fletcher Cox, Timmy Jernigan are no joke up front in that defensive interior. But I like the Falcons in this game. You get to the playoffs, a lot of times you want to go with the best coach and quarterback combination. You got Doug Peterson and Nick Foles. First time Doug Peterson's been in the playoffs. First time Nick Foles has been in this situation versus Matt Ryan and Dan Quinn. They just went to the Super Bowl last year. Matt Ryan reigning MVP. I'm going to the Atlanta Falcons, who will get back their one game away from potential rematch if the Titans were to fall tonight to the Patriots from last year. Moving on to the AFC, the Steelers and Jags tomorrow around 12 o'clock here in Nashville. And this could be a brutal game. Remember last time these two teams played, Ben Roethlisberger threw not one, not two, not three, not four, but five interceptions in a home loss, 30-9 at Heinz Field against the Jacksonville Jaguars, who ended up having the number one pass defense on all of the NFL. And I wonder, because after that game, Big Ben was rattled. Never seen a dude like Ben Roethlisberger who has two Super Bowl championships be as shook as he was, saying, quote, "Maybe I just don't have it anymore." The Jacksonville Jaguars had Ben Roethlisberger so shook he was questioning whether he still had it, thinking maybe this might be the end, and people wondering in Pittsburgh, man, what do we do? Well, since then, New England's only lost one game. Big Ben's been playing pretty well. He has seven interceptions since then still, but not five in one game. And I'm betting that he's not going to have five today, because the Jaguars, they might have played great defensively last week, but they played against Tyrod Taylor and eventually Nathan Peterman when the game was on the line for the Buffalo Bills. And we all knew the Bills were going to go there and beat them. But now you have a game today where can they beat Pittsburgh again in Heinz Field? And there's a lot of controversy swirling around the Pittsburgh Steelers like there always is. Le'Veon Bell came out talking about what should the Steelers do this offseason. They should value me as a running back. At the age of 25, he's now saying if he gets tagged again where he would make $14 million, guaranteed, fully, that he would contemplate either sitting out the rest of the year in 2018 or retiring. He said that on Thursday, 3 days before the Pittsburgh Steelers are preparing for their NFL divisional round game against the Jacksonville Jaguars in the playoffs. That's what Le'Veon Bell is focused on, not winning the game, but making sure I get valued this offseason by the Pittsburgh Steelers. Does that matter? It kind of does, because the Jags have a pretty good defense. But you know what doesn't matter is that the Jags have a quarterback of Blake Bortles who is god-awful. Now, last time they played, yes, he had the five interceptions. Leonard Fournette also ran for, 180-something yards, breaking up a 90-yard touchdown to seal that game. That was pretty much already sealed because Big Ben was so rattled, so shook, didn't really matter what he did at that point. Blake Bortles is going to have to win this game for them. They want to win. Now, last week, say what you want to say about Blake Bortles, and I'm saying not a lot of positive things right here. The dude went out there, and he kind of balled out in a way where when they needed plays, he ran the ball with his legs. I think he had more rushing yards and passing yards last week. Now, might not be balling out, but he made the plays necessary to win the game. End of the day, here in January, that's kind of what you need. So, Blake Bortles, though, the Steelers aren't going to let you run the football like you did last time, and they're sure as hell not going to let you beat him with his arm. So I'm going to take Pittsburgh to win this game by a couple touchdowns tomorrow. Also, Antonio Brown, he had the injury, the calf injury. He was out of practice yesterday because of an illness. We'll see how healthy he is. Either way, Jacksonville's not beating Pittsburgh up there in Heinz Field. Then the game of the week, the game I think where the winner will end up being the representative for the NFC, the Vikings playing the Saints. Winner goes to the Super Bowl. I'm sorry, Atlanta, Philadelphia, it doesn't really matter. Now, Case Keenum is probably the focus of this entire conversation, this entire game. Because people have been wondering all year long, when is Case Keenum going to fall off? There's talks about Mike Zimmer, the head coach there, still wanting Teddy Bridgewater. Sam Bradford is now back, kind of healthy, back practicing. But it's Case Keenum who's going to get the call tomorrow around 3:40 on Fox for the game of the week. And we'll say this. Quarterbacks making their postseason debuts against former Super Bowl participants. That would be Drew Brees, the former Super Bowl participant, and the quarterback making his first playoff start being Case Keenum. They're 4-8. But one of those losses, one of the eight, is one of the four wins came against Drew Brees, who had the loss. So Brees lost back 7 years ago to Alex Smith. One of Alex Smith's two playoff wins came against Drew Brees, where he outdueled him in a divisional round back then in 2011 when he was playing with the San Francisco 49ers. So if Alex Smith can outduel Drew Brees, and you guys don't think much about Alex Smith, why not Case Keenum? Keenum has two wide receivers in Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs, who are probably the envy of a lot of teams out there across the NFL. Latavius Murray stepping in for the injured Dalvin Cook has ran the ball well. Jerick McKinnon's making plays on the outside as a change of pace back. I like what Case Keenum can do in this game. It's going to come down to this defense, though, because last week, man, Alvin Kamara going to be the NFL Rookie of the Year. Him and Mark Ingram combined for 68 total yards against that Panthers defense. Newsflash, this Vikings defense is better than the Panthers defense. They have the personnel that's going to stop New Orleans once again. Now it comes down to Drew Brees having to make enough plays with his arm, which he's had to do a lot of times. And we talked about the Saints had a potential to go to the Super Bowl this year. They had the potential to be the best team in the NFC because they could run the football. They're going to have to run the football, but at the end of the day, it comes down to the quarterbacks. So who are you going to take, Case Keenum or Drew Brees? I'm not necessarily taking either one of them. I'm just going to take New Orleans because I think New Orleans has been the better team all year long. I think they'll find a ways to run the ball, be creative with Alvin Kamara a little bit. Not as well as they did last week, but I think they'll find a way. Drew Brees will make the plays passing the ball. Case Keenum will match him. End of the day, Vikings playoff heartache once again. New Orleans Saints on to the NFC Championship game and NFC South Championship game down at Superdome. And I think we'll be talking about it next week, but if that happens, I'm not going to find any way to tell you Atlanta is going to win that game. New Orleans beats the Vikings, and they're probably going off to the Super Bowl to face. Who knows? Maybe your Tennessee Titans. Go ahead and bring down the music for me, you could, Captain Kurt. On the other side, though, we got to get into the big matchup we have on tonight on CBS at 7:15. The Tennessee Titans won their first playoff game in 14 years last week. Now they face the colossal Giants, the greatest living American, Tom Brady, and the New England Patriots. How can they win tonight? I'll tell you on the other side. It's Julian Council Show right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. It's Julian Council Show here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Thank you, boys and men. Snowing outside here in Nashville, Tennessee. They warned you all day on Thursday, hey, be careful, get your food, get your bread and milk, it's going to snow tomorrow. And they prepared the roads by putting no salt on them. So thank you, City of Nashville, for allowing people to crash their cars into ravines and ditches yesterday because you did not prepare the roads. Anywho, there is a bigger issue for the City of Nashville tonight as the Tennessee Titans face off against the defending Super Bowl champion New England Patriots at 7:15 on CBS right there, Gillette Stadium in Foxborough. And it's daunting because the numbers tell you that this is not exactly the matchup you want on paper. Well, sort of. Mike Mularkey, the head coach, is 0-6 all time against Bill Belichick. Now, coach of Buffalo, coach of Jacksonville, not exactly like those teams typically have had success against New England in the past couple years. So I think any coach would have had that success against Belichick. Patriots has been to 6 straight AFC title games since 2002. This is a weird stat. The Patriots are 9-0 in Saturday night playoff games. What's today? Today is a Saturday. It's a Saturday night playoff game in Foxborough, so the numbers say not great. But then again, the last time they did lose in a divisional round, which hasn't been since 2010, so it's been a while, they lost to Mark Sanchez, Rex Ryan, and the New York Jets, who went on to back-to-back AFC title games before losing. Mark Sanchez, Rex Ryan, and the New York Jets were the last team to go into Foxborough and to beat the Patriots in a divisional round. Now it brings up a few points to have today, keys for the Titans to win. I talked about it at the bottom last hour. Marcus Mariota has to be magical once again today if they're going to win this game. He has to be great. The only reason a lot of people are even talking about this game being somewhat competitive, if it's even a lot of people, some people, very few people, maybe 4 or 5 people are saying that, it's because Marcus Mariota plays on this team and the way he's played in the last couple of weeks. The fact that he had the stiff arm of Barry Church sending him into the IRF score, the fact that he had the block that freed up Derrick Henry last week, the fact that he threw a touchdown pass to himself last week, leading him back once they had 3 wides in that fourth quarter, in that second half. That is the type of Marcus Mariota you want to see today. He's going to have to win from the pocket. Now you're saying, oh, well, can he do it? Well, and the Patriots, yeah, they haven't played a lot of great quarterbacks since, the first couple weeks. And one of them was Jay Cutler, who stole $10 million from the Miami Dolphins this year. Well, Jay Cutler had himself a night against New England, 263 yards passing, 3 touchdowns, and a Monday night stunner in Miami. Now, I understand Tom Brady has a losing record down there in Miami, and somehow, some way, they find a way to beat the Patriots. But if Jay Cutler, who is a ski mask all-star, can beat the Patriots, then why can't Marcus Mariota the way he's played the last couple weeks? Mariota has to be great. He can't be good. He can't be okay. He has to be great if he's going to beat Tom Brady and beat the New England Patriots tonight. Second on that, they're going to have to run the football. Scott Zolak from 98.5 Sports Hub and Patriots radio analyst came on with Brayden Gall yesterday morning, talked about who has to be a great running back for the Titans to win today.
You got a 6'3", 260-pound back that He runs up and down just like Eric Dickerson used to, but this kid's got speed. And you know, we're not big up front, you know, and that's one thing. And a couple linebackers have been in and out. We haven't had Hightower all year, and you know, you're really playing an extra safety. And what they do is they'll play four safeties at times and do that big nickel look, and it's one of the safeties that assume one of the linebacker positions. So, I mean, they and this it's not a detriment, or I'm not, you know, trying to say anything bad about the current guys in there, but not one of the better fronts we've had over the years. I think the secondary is the strength of the defense, but they really take coaching well, and there's a reason they won 13 games. The defense has played well over the last 2 months.
Derrick Henry's not 260, 247, but he might feel like that when you look at him comparing him to the inside linebackers of the New England Patriots. Kyle Van Noy and Alandon Roberts both way less than Derrick Henry. The starting defensive ends, Eric Lee and Trey Flowers, also way less than Derrick Henry. And that's the type of guy they're going to try and bring down all day long. Ran for 156 yards on 23 carries last week in the win against the Chiefs. And, man, at the end of the game, Mariota had that block. But eventually that kind of weight wears down on you. And when you think about how much bigger he is than the Patriots linebackers and interior defensive linemen, you're thinking, man, if you can run this guy up the middle all day long, as cold as it's going to be tonight in Gillette, eventually he's going to wear down on them. And also the Patriots only have the 20th best rushing defense in the NFL. Number three, in what you talk about with Tom Brady and how to beat this guy, is you got to get to him. You got to get pressure to him. But typically when he loses these types of games, like with Miami, he had a dude named Ndamukong Suh, who was coming right up the middle. Titans have a guy named Jarrell Casey who just got a four-year, $60 million paycheck in the offseason. He has to earn his paycheck today. Jarrell Casey has been good this season, but he has to be phenomenal. He has to be worth all $60 million in this game today, and that's why you signed him to that contract for these moments in January when you go to Foxborough to play the Patriots and you got to get pressure on Tom Brady. If he can get pressure all night long, that's a way for the Titans to find a way to beat them, because the Patriots – last year, only gave it 15 sacks in the regular season, Tom Brady. This year, they gave up 35. In the month of December, they gave up 11 alone. Tom Brady wasn't great in the month of December. We'll get into a little bit more of his numbers in a minute. But also, for the Patriots in the Titans game, they've got to be great on third down. New England has, of course, the number one third down offense in the NFL. Titans' third down defense, not exactly up to par with that. But what they need to do offensively on third down, they have to be great. Last week against Kansas City, they were great, 62%. When they go at least 40% on third down attempts, the Titans are 5-2 this season. They're going to have to do at least 50, 55. We'll take 100% on third downs in order to beat New England tonight. But get over that 40% mark, be more 50, 55%, and you're going to have a chance to keep that defense on the field, which a defense 30th in the league, not great against the pass. If you're able to do that, you're going to find success. You're going to get a ton of yardage. You're going to keep them on the field. You're going to wear them out on a cold night in Foxborough. Also, contained Rob Gronkowski. Let's not, you know, beat around the bush. Last week, Travis Kelce, he doesn't get hurt in that game. I don't even know if I'm talking to you for 2 hours today about the Titans playing the Patriots. Most likely not, because they had no answer for him last week. Will they have an answer for him this week? I don't know. Try and contain him. Don't go man-to-man. I know they're going to try and, you know, motion them out, get on one-on-one situations, find a way, any way, to match up with Rob Gronkowski. Most importantly, what the Titans need? They need a B-minus, C-plus game from Tom Brady. Brady had one of the worst weeks or stretches in the month of December of his career. Looking at it, he has 6 interceptions in the final 6 weeks. He only had 2 prior to that. 2. Prior in the first 10 weeks, he had 2 interceptions. He had 6 in the last 6 weeks. In a five-week stretch during those 6 weeks, he had an interception in each game, which is the first time in his career that's ever happened. Like I said, 35 sacks this year, 15 sacks last year. Brady in December had a 61% passing percentage. Not great. Now, if we're looking at the rest of the NFL and the way he threw the ball, 61%, that's fine. But posted a 81.6 passer rating, which is 17th best in the NFL. His yards per attempt during that span were 6.95, 15th best in the NFL. And he's also been far worse in touchdowns and interceptions, going from 26-3 in the first 11 games to an unusual 6-5. So Brady, he's great. He's a Hall of Famer. He's probably going to be MVP. He hasn't exactly been playing his best football, and it leads a lot of people to believe that maybe we're going to see Tom Brady slip up a little bit to where, like last year when they played the Texans And Bill Belichick berated him at the end of the game about, you play like that, we're going to lose. If he has another type of game like that and the Titans can make the plays offensively and keep the New England defense on the field, they might actually have a chance in this game. But they're going to need a bad performance from Tom Brady. And it's interesting because I'm looking at this 538 article asking, is Tom Brady finally getting old, pointing back to Peyton Manning in 2014. Now, you know, we always say that he has the TB12 thing and he drinks like the kale smoothies and he's keeping himself young. But Father Time is undefeated. And you never know what's going to happen. For Peyton Manning, it happened in week 13 of 2014. And he had a poor playoff performance. Denver lost to the Indianapolis Colts, which then led to Deflategate, which, thanks for that, Peyton Manning. You can blame Peyton Manning for Deflategate. Following season, he gets injured. Then he gets back, wins the Super Bowl somehow. Is Tom Brady falling off? I don't know. Every time we say he's falling off, he ends up being great still. But you're going to have a bad performance from Tom Brady. And the way you can do that is getting pressure on him and keeping that offense off the field by wearing on that defense. The Titans can do that. They can win. But it all starts with Marcus Mariota playing the best game of his career tonight. He's got to have the game like he had against the Colts. I understand Colts defense is terrible. Patriots defense ain't that great. You saw, I named the quarterbacks who they played against the last couple weeks. Brock Osweiler, not good. Not good at all. Tyrod Taylor twice. Come on. Marcus Mariota, better than all those guys. He's able to do that. Tennessee Titans have a chance to win. On the other side, Phil Perry, NBC Sports Boston, helps me break down this game as we get set for the Titans-Patriots matchup tonight. It's right here on the Julian Council Show, ESPN, 102.5 The Game. Julian Council Show right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, taking you up to the top of the hour, followed by NFL Playoffs Live for 6 hours. Gonna have Chase McKay, Buck Rising from 11 to 2. Gonna have Ryan Porth in TBD from 2 to 5, followed by NFL Playoffs Saturday, or NFL Football Saturday Playoff Edition. Yeah, that's what it's called, from 5 to 7 over at Drake's in Cool Springs. Jared and the GM alongside Chris Sanders. Following the game from 10:30 until midnight, you're gonna have Jared Stillman and Chris Sanders with the post-game show right here all day. All the Titans coverage you need on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Seeing right now on Twitter, Keith Jackson, Hall of Fame play-by-play guy, has passed away. We'll always remember the Vince Young, USC, Reggie Bush national title game. I think it was the greatest game I've ever seen, Keith Jackson calling that game. So RIP to the legend, Keith Jackson. But let's bring on Phil Perry now from NBC Sports Boston. Phil, let's go ahead and start off right here. The big bombshell article last week from Seth Wickersham from ESPN.com talking about the rift between Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, and owner Robert Kraft. What did you make of that article?
Yeah, so when it initially came out, I believe it was Friday morning last week, was left with a lot of questions. The first and foremost being, man, who is inside Gillette Stadium that has an axe to grind with Tom Brady? Because Tom Brady came off looking really bad, I thought, in this piece. He looked petulant. He looked overbearing. And so that's where my mind wanders, is why? Why is this coming out now, and why are there people inside the building that are willing to say this to a reporter, obviously from the outside? And I know that Brady's behavior that was alleged by that ESPN report had something to do with Robert Kraft, then perhaps going to Bill Belichick and saying, okay, hey, Tom is pissed off. We have to do something with Jimmy here. I think a lot of that, as far as I understand it now, you know, we read something like that and then, we make our calls and we do some digging of our own. My understanding is some of that was a little bit sexed up, maybe. But I will say this, Wickersham isn't going to do a piece like that with items that are made up. So I do feel right. Like there are people inside the building that are maybe unnerved enough, uneasy enough, uncertain enough about the future that they're willing to chirp about the three major players in the franchise. And that, to me, it speaks volumes. It does tell you that something's happening behind closed doors there. I'm just not sure it's as dire and as dramatic as the story made it out to be.
Yeah, because it was funny when I was looking, out there all over the internet, most Patriot fans are out there saying, oh, this is fake news and whatnot. I'm thinking about, well, Wickersham had the Seahawks article about the infighting, Richard Sherman, and then being upset about, the lack of kind of heat that fell on Russell Wilson after throwing the interception in Super Bowl 49 when the Patriots won that.
And then he had the one about the NFL owners meeting where the Bob McNair quote came out about you can't have the inmates running the prison. Both of those stories are true. So I'm sure maybe right. a little bit of it might have been a little, you know, like you said, sexier than it like what is made out to be. But I'm not going to say Seth Wickersham was wrong at all, just from what I know. But like from what hearing you say, it seems that a lot of it was pretty true, but maybe not at the level that you're talking about. Now, so speaking of the relationship, do you see this being an issue moving forward for the rest of the season? And do you expect all, I mean, of course, Kraft's going to own the team, but and Brady's probably going to be back. Do you think Belichick will be back again next fall?
I do think Belichick will be back, and that was another piece of the article that I was a little, I was sort of scratching my head over, because you're talking about a breakup between the three-headed beast that has been Kraft, Belichick, and Brady over the last almost two decades. And the only way that thing is breaking up is if Bill Belichick goes somewhere, because now that Garoppolo's been traded, Brady is here for the foreseeable future and in all likelihood for the remainder of his career. Kraft obviously isn't going anywhere. And so when you're talking about a quote-unquote breakup, you're talking about Belichick ending up elsewhere. Listen, I've spoken to people that know Belichick pretty well, and they don't necessarily totally rule out at some point down the line Belichick making a Parcellsian kind of move to the front office somewhere else at some point in time. But is that, you know, in the offing here in the next year or 2 years? I don't think so. The indications I've gotten is that is highly unlikely. And so I would expect Bill Belichick, as he said this week a couple of different times in back and forth with reporters, he absolutely believes he'll be back for this year, and he's under contract as well. So, you know, if he wanted to go anywhere, even if he wanted to go anywhere, it would be difficult for him to make that move, because the Patriots have his rights. They pay him handsomely. And, if you're talking about Belichick being, say, with the Giants in 2018, you're talking about a trade at that point. And we all know how rare it is to see head coaches get traded, especially, you know, the greatest coach of all time. So I don't see that happening anytime soon.
Yeah, especially it seems like if anyone for the Patriots goes over to the Giants, it's going to be defensive coordinator Matt Patricia, who seems to be the favorite for that job. He's Phil Perry joining me on Julian Council Show from NBC Sports Boston, covers the Patriots. Titans-Patriots, 7:15 tonight on CBS for the AFC Divisional Round game. So let's get into this game real quick. And one of the things I think is kind of interesting coming from this, when we think about the link to the Titans and Patriots, I don't think a lot of people have talked about, is Titans GM John Robinson helped construct a lot of that roster up there in New England. What kind of role do you think that he might play in helping the Titans coaching staff game plan for the Patriots tonight?
So it's interesting, and it's always a difficult question to kind of wrap your fingers around, because you know, every week, for the most part, there is some player or multiple players that spent time on the other side. And this week it's no different, whether it's Josh Klein or Logan Ryan. Those guys obviously have intimate knowledge of how the Patriots run their operation. And so could those guys be helpful to the coaching staff? Could John Robinson, as you said, could somebody like that be helpful to Mike Mularkey and his staff as they get ready for this week? I'm sure there are little things that they could potentially divulge when it comes to little intricacies of certain players and maybe tendencies that they have in particular situations, things that aren't obvious on film. But in this day and age, in the NFL, the film study is so extensive, and the analytics are so prevalent that there's very little that you can do, in my opinion, that would illuminate something that hasn't already been illuminated on film. Now, are all teams equally adept at dissecting the film and, taking the proper sort of takeaways from that film? No. So, when you have guys like Logan Ryan or, like I said, Josh Klein or John Robinson, those guys could help. But I would expect for a team like the Titans, that's in the playoffs, that's won some big games already here, and that has a ton of film to study on the Patriots, they know for the most part what they're going to be doing on third down in the red zone, the schemes they like to use, the plays they like to run. It'll just come down to, maybe there is something that Logan Ryan knows about Malcolm Butler's tendencies when he's playing press man coverage, between the 40s, and that's something that they could exploit. But in terms of the big picture, I really do think it's tough to come up with nuggets that the Titans staff won't already know.
Yeah, it's funny because Logan Ryan, former Patriots cornerback, came out this week and said, as far as with this particular subject, that he couldn't tell Dick LeBeau anything that he doesn't already know about football, seeing as he has 80 years of experience over me. So let's transition Dick LeBeau then, because this guy's going to be a Hall of Famer and, you know, and a Hall of Fame defensive coordinator, but yet he's struggled against Brady and Belichick throughout his career. Can you pinpoint why that has been that case?
Yeah, to me, it just comes down to the scheme that LeBeau likes, and it works against most. I mean, he's a Hall of Famer, both, you know, as a player and as a coach, in my opinion. And so when it comes to LeBeau and what he was obviously known for in Pittsburgh, and, you know, you would be able to tell me more about, you know, what he's been doing with the Titans, as much as I've tried to watch when it comes to this Titans defense. But in Pittsburgh, I mean, he's a zone guy. He's a zone blitz guy. I mean, he changed the game with those schemes. And, again, it works against a lot of teams. The reason I don't think it works all that well against Tom Brady, number one, when you play zone against Tom Brady, you just are consistently leaving too much space for him to pick apart. And so you've seen it more this year, I think, really than ever before, more teams playing press man coverage on the outside and in the slot and trying to close down on some of those spaces that can open themselves up. When you're running his own defense. And then, you know, what LeBeau obviously loves to do is he loves to mix it up. He loves to mix up the looks on you, but he likes to blitz. And for Brady, you know, it's a guy who obviously is very confident in his ability to read where the blitz is coming from, and he's historically been very good at that. And so if you try to blitz Tom Brady, you're playing with fire, because he's going to be able to see where it's coming from and hit that opening. And so I think those are the reasons you've seen the numbers, and they have been pretty gaudy against Dick LeBeau defenses for Tom Brady and the Patriots in the past.
Phil Parra from NBC Sports Boston here with me on the Julian Council Show, and you talk about how the offense will operate against that zone blitzing scheme. And that Patriots running game, especially the running backs, you know, like Deion Lewis, who's been terrific in the last month of the season, I feel like it's probably the most underrated part about this offense. Do you agree?
He has been absolutely tremendous. And if you look at what he did, really starting from week 6 on, when he became the primary back. Remember, Mike Gillisley, back the first month and a half or so, was really New England's primary back, and you had James White in on passing downs, and Deion Lewis wasn't seeing that much playing time. And I think that was in large part due to the fact that they wanted to keep him healthy for the stretch run. They know how dynamic he can be when he is at full strength, but he's also been incredibly breakable over the course of his career, and you feel for the guy, because it's been torn ACLs, it's been broken legs. He broke his kneecap at the start of last season coming off of the torn ACL. So they wanted to try to keep him in bubble wrap to some extent early on. Ever since they've taken the reins off, this guy has been incredible. He has been, by all measures really, one of the top backs in the league, whether it's yards after contact, whether it's missed tackles, whether it's yards per attempt. And now even lately, you've seen him work in more in the passing game as well. And so he really does give them an all-purpose, dynamic player in the backfield that allows them to be a little bit more unpredictable. If you remember the Patriots offense from last year, LeGarrette Blount obviously was a huge part of that. But when he was on the field, you knew the Patriots weren't going to use him as a receiving option. It just wasn't in the cards. And so that was somebody you really didn't have to account for. And when they had James White in the game, you knew that James White probably wasn't going to be running it in between the tackles, because it's just not his style. He goes down a little bit easier than most backs. He's a tremendous receiver, but he's not that between-the-tackles hammer. And so there was a very drastic and stark split between those two backs. When you have Deion Lewis on the field, he can really do both, and that makes life a living hell for opposing defense.
Yeah, we saw about 2 years ago, back before Deion Lewis got hurt, how big of a important part he was for that offense. Of course, the season that ended in the AFC title game to Denver. So let's go ahead and ask you the question. Titans have a chance?
So here's the thing. I think if they can do two things, they will keep it close. Number one, you have to be able to run it with Derrick Henry, and you have to keep the ball out of Tom Brady's hands. I don't think that's a surprise to anyone. And so I'm interested to see how the Patriots try to defend that, because there is a little bit of a conundrum that they face in that to stop Henry, you want to go heavy with your base personnel. You want to have guys like David Harris, James Harrison on the field to be able to deal with that kind of power. But if Marcus Mariota decides to scramble around with Henry also on the field, you're leaving yourself vulnerable because you're not matching Mariota's athleticism with your faster defensive personnel. And so there is going to be an interesting chess match there, I think, for the Patriots to strike a balance between, okay, here's what we're going to do when we know Henry's going to get the ball, and here's what we're going to do when we think there might be an opportunity for Mariota to scramble. And so you could see a very different set of football players on the field for the Patriots, especially in their front seven, depending on the situation. And how they strike that balance and how they utilize those guys, I think, is going to be key. On the other side of the ball, Jarrell Casey, to me, is an absolute monster. I think he's one of the most underrated players in the league. I'll tell you, people inside the Patriots locker room have the utmost respect for the guy. I heard comparisons to Aaron Donald this week, who should be, in my opinion, the defensive player of the year, and is an annual candidate for that award. But that's the kind of respect they have for Casey. And if Casey can be the spark that allows the Titans to get some interior pressure on Brady and make him hurry and make him go through his progressions quicker than he'd like, then I think the Titans have a chance to slow down the Patriots' passing offense. I do think the Patriots will win, and I think they'll cover. But I do think if the Titans are able to do those two things, it'll be much closer than people are expecting.
All right, so you're saying there's a chance, sort of. Phil Perry for NBC.
Sort of, yes.
All right, hey, let's... I think that's something that people take, especially after reading some of the stuff up there in Boston this week. But, hey, I completely understand the sentiment that a lot of people have up there. Phil Perry, NBC Sports Boston, appreciate your time this morning.
Thanks for having me. Enjoy the game.
Thanks to Phil Perry right there, NBC Sports Boston. On the other side of the Julian Council Show, we'll wrap it up, giving my pick finally and highlighting two more players who have to play well tonight for the Titans to win. It's right here on the Julian Council Show on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back on the Julian Council Show, it's over the closer as we get into a few little things before we get back to Titans-Patriots. Give my pick who I think is going to win tonight. Vanderbilt and Kentucky got the coverage on 94.9 Game 2 today at 1:30. I'll be at the game. It's going to be at 3 o'clock. I think it's on SEC Network. Vanderbilt and Kentucky are playing. The Commodores not doing too well. 6-10, 1-3 in the SEC will face off against Kentucky, who is a top 20 team. 3-1 in the SEC, big game, big Blue Nation. Despite the snow, I'm sure that they will turn out in droves today at Memorial Gym, which has not had high attendance. Reading the Tennessean the other day, talking about they potentially are going to have their lowest attendance if it goes the way it's gone in 50 years. And Vanderbilt not being competitive, at least they've been competitive, just not winning games in these competitive games they played, probably has an impact on that. So obviously an important game for Vanderbilt to come out and try and get the upset against Kentucky, which a week ago, the arch rival Tennessee was able to do up there in Knoxville, and we'll play here last week or on Wednesday or Tuesday night and got that win. Tennessee playing Texas A&M. A&M now 0-4 in the SEC. 2 weeks ago, this was the number 5 team in the country, and now they are 0-4 in the SEC, just showing how improved this league is. Now, part of that's been because they've had a lot of guys out. They got back pretty much everyone on Tuesday night's loss at Rupp, where there was probably one of the more egregious non-foul calls you're going to see. But then again, Rupp Arena, you're not going to see a foul call within the last 7 seconds of a game. That's not going to benefit the Kentucky Wildcats. So Texas A&M, Tennessee, big game there for the Volunteers, trying to get above 500 in the SEC. But back to the Titans-Patriots, and, you know, two things I want to get, well, maybe really three things I want to get into that Phil Perry just talked there in that interview from NBC Sports Boston was Deion Lewis. And we haven't really talked a lot this week about the Patriots running game, which has been, I think, pretty phenomenal the last couple weeks of the season. The last 6 weeks, New England is tied for the league high in rushing touchdowns. They're second in rushing yards and third in yards per carry. Deion Lewis, the running back who has really helped them, you know, kind of get to that rushing mark, was ranked second in rushing, only behind Todd Gurley in NFL during that span of the final 6 weeks of the season. So while Tom Brady, like I pointed out earlier, had one of the worst months of his career back in December and didn't really play well in the last 6 weeks, it didn't really matter because Deion Lewis was running the ball well. Now they're going to hope that Brady can get back on track to where he played in November and before he had the kind of the slump down in December. If he can play that well, and then they can have Deion Lewis run the football, they're going to have a chance to win this game. Now, also talked about Jarrell Casey, how he said he was analogous to Aaron Donald, who is probably one of the best interior defenders in all of the NFL. Jarrell Casey, 4 years, $60 million. Said earlier, today he has to earn his paycheck. If he's able to go out there and earn his paycheck and get pressure up front, they're going to find a way to get pressure on Tom Brady and maybe force him to play like he's played in December. Also, like I said, Marcus Mariota has to be great today
the Tennessee Titans are going to win this game. Has to be great. Dan Shaughnessy of the Boston Globe talked in his column earlier about how the Tennessee Titans had no chance, but he did earlier this week on Braden Gull tell you what has to happen for them to win in Gillette.
All right, so you kick off to them, and they fumble, and you get six right out of the jump there. And then they fumble again. But they have this weird thing. When they fumble, it always bounces back into their hands. I mean, all these things work for you. Pressure Brady. Don't be stupid. Don't keep doing the same stupid things. Don't panic at the sight of Belichick. Don't just, you know, lose your football acumen when you come into Gillette and see Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. Do what you do and try to bother Brady. And they are vulnerable. They're not that good. And don't do the famed, you know, they bend but don't break. You know, get all your yards between the 20s and then freeze up and lose your minds when you get in the red zone. That's what everybody does.
Yeah, that's a great point because the Patriots, like I said, they are not great as far as NFL defense. I mean, they're ranked 25th in the league or 29th in the league total defense, and they've allowed the fifth fewest points, though, in NFL, but gave up the fourth most yardage with that 29th ranking. And that tells you just how great their red zone defense is. They gave up a touchdown in the red zone on 43.8% of the chances, which was fourth best in NFL, which leads them only giving up 18 points a game. Titans only 19th in the NFL in red zone scoring, 52.5%. Mariota threw seven touchdowns, no interceptions in the red zone, but completed fewer than 45% of his passes. So right there, like Shaughnessy said, get to the red zone and do what you've been doing to get you down there. Don't get down in the 20s and just forget how to play football, forget how to coach. If you can get touchdowns, because you can't, as a lot of teams, you always talk about it, because it was a numbers game. I talked about this last week, the Chiefs-Titans game. Chiefs weren't great in the red zone. Their kicker was 30 for 42 on the year because they had to settle. That's a lot of kicks, NFL high. They had to settle all the time for field goals. Cannot settle. You can't beat the Patriots. It's a simple numbers game, 7-3. You can't settle for field goals in Gillette. You have to score touchdowns. Titans have to be tremendous in the red zone tonight. So what am I going to pick? Titans, Patriots. It's very obvious that the New England Patriots are probably the best team in the NFL, but people have said, like Shaughnessy said, this Patriots team is not like the Patriots teams that we've seen in the past. They're not a dominant team. He's just said the AFC isn't that great. And you look outside of Pittsburgh and New England, Jacksonville's a 3-seed. Jacksonville's a 3-seed with Blake Bortles. Very clearly, the AFC has been down this year. But I will say tonight, I think that the Titans will find a way to get some pressure up the middle. I feel like Jarrell Casey's going to have a good game. I think Marcus Mariota will make some plays. I'm just not sure that their skill position players are good enough. Corey Davis was drafted fifth overall, hasn't been healthy, hasn't been the kind of player that a lot of people hoped he would be. That's going to hurt them because they're going to need those type of players. Eric Decker's need to step up. I'm not sure Tennessee can win this game. I think they can compete, but I think the Patriots find a way, end of the day, late in the fourth quarter, to pull away to head to their seventh consecutive AFC championship game. But we'll see. 7:15 tonight on CBS, your Tennessee Titans versus New England Patriots NFL AFC divisional round playoffs tonight at Gillette. Coming up, following me, NFL Playoffs Live, Chase McCabe, Buck Rising will take you from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.